Hey mamas, it's Megan here from the VBAC Link. You know how finding the right VBAC supportive provider can truly make all the difference. Well, finding the right diaper is sometimes just as tough. When searching for a supportive provider, check out our supportive provider list linked in the show notes. And when searching for quality diapers made with clean ingredients, reach out to Coterie. Their diapers are ultra absorbent, they can help minimize leaks and diaper rash, and are made with clean, hypoallergenic materials. It's one less thing to stress about. Use code VBAC20, that's VBAC20, at checkout to get 20% off your order of $40 or more. You can find them by checking out the link in the show notes or going to coterie.com. That's C-O-T-E-R-I-E.com.
Good morning, women of strength. It is Julie Frankum here with you today, and I am super excited to talk with our guest today, Sophia, and she is from Mexico City, Mexico, and her VBAC story takes place there as well. And I absolutely love hearing birth stories from all over the world, so I cannot wait to hear Sophia's story. But before we get started with that, I do have a really short and sweet review of the week. This one is from Google. It's a Google review. And she says simply, great people sharing great information. They make me feel less alone in my journey to a VBAC. And I'm so grateful for that review. I think that that is one of the most important things that Megan and I mean, it's one of the most important reasons why Megan and I wanted to start the VBAC Link is because our own journeys felt very lonely at times, even though we were connected to the birth world and we had a strong birth community. There are certain parts of wanting a vaginal birth after having a C-section that are just very, very lonely. So we are grateful for that review. We hope that whoever's listening now also feels a little less alone in this journey because we absolutely love you and we are so grateful that you are here with us.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
All right, let's get going. I have Sophia here today. Like I said, she's from Mexico City, Mexico, and I'm just going to sit down and be quiet and listen because I have heard lots of really interesting and crazy and cool things about Mexico City. So I'm excited to hear her birth experience there. Sophia is the mother of Luca and Rio. I just said that. I'm just reading her bio right now. She said, I'm a Mexican and live in Mexico City. Perfect. She's a passionate advocate for women's rights and strongly believes in the magic that results from women building together, connecting and supporting each other. Her motherhood journey has been very humbling and healing, and she is obsessed with talking about birth. Me too, girl. I am obsessed with talking about birth as well. So I'm excited to hear your story, and I'm just going to go ahead and let you take it away. And we're going to talk. I'm going to let you take it away, but really, I'm going to keep talking for just a second. I loved reading through your story, sharing about your birth team and prodromal labor and the different things that you did to kind of keep labor going and moving along. And I am really excited to talk at the end, after we hear your story, about some different things that you can do to prepare for VBAC, both mentally, physically, and all of the ways. So now, for real, I'm going to let you go ahead and share your story with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's truly a dream come true to be here in the podcast. I'm just really honored to tell my story because, you know, when I was starting to prepare for my VBAC, I found it really hard to find well-documented VBAC stories coming from Mexico and generally from the global South. So I just hope my story helps other women, you know, living in similar contexts. So I guess I'll start with the story of my unplanned C-section. So half a year after my husband and I got married, we were ready to have kids. We met on Tinder. We dated for like 3 years, and both of us really had had the opportunity to travel the world and do amazing things. So we felt, like we had a good pre-kids life, and we were just ready to start a family. So I was 34 at the time, and I always wanted to try to get pregnant before I became 35. And I got pregnant really fast, actually, like first try. So we were so shocked and excited and surprised. And at the time, we were both working remotely in Europe. We were slowly making our way to Australia because my husband is from Australia. And this was 2021. And as some of you might remember, Australia was under super restrictive lockdown. No one could come in, no one could get out. So we had not seen his family for like 3 years. And we were just waiting for the ban to lift to be able to go in and spend some time with him, with them, sorry. So this is an important part of the story because while I was in Europe, especially in Belgium and in Australia, my pregnancy was taken care of by midwives. Especially in Australia, it's really normal that all healthy pregnancies are attended by midwives. And only those special cases or complicated ones are taken by gynecologists. So my pregnancy was a really healthy, enjoyable one. I am one of those women that really love being pregnant. I was very lucky with both of my pregnancies. But this experience was so influential because in Mexico, although we have this wonderful history with midwives, in Spanish called parteras, and that's actually where, the use of rebozo comes from. This practice continues mostly in rural and particularly in indigenous communities. But in the cities, there's a really concerning high rate of unnecessary cesareans. There's this narrative that, C-sections are kind of the easy way out. And I would even dare to say, like in the 80s, it became sort of a socioeconomic status thing, Women that have access to private healthcare would just opt for a C-section, either because their doctor recommended it to do so, or because they just thought it was the easy way out. And, people would say, like, why would you put yourself under unnecessary pain if you can just go get a C-section? Like it was nothing, right? So actually, most of the women that I know went had a C-section, but having the experience with midwives, I decided I really, really wanted to try to have a natural birth. So I started getting informed, and I actually work in philanthropy. I work on social justice issues, so I'm very well connected to feminist and women organizations, especially in Mexico City. And I remember that there was all these colleagues working to defend obstetric rights in Mexico City, and I knew that they had a really good network of doulas. So it was through them that I connected remotely with my doula, Neri Fernandez, who is amazing. And we spoke on Zoom and we clicked right away. And she started preparing me for my return to Mexico. The plan was always to come back to Mexico during the third trimester so I could have my baby here. And she started, preparing me with the reality that it is to have a natural birth in Mexico City. She told me, honestly, there are very few truly labor-friendly hospitals and also very few labor-friendly gynecologists. A lot of them are going to tell you that, of course, they're going to support you in a natural labor, but around week 37 or so, they're going to suggest going on a C-section by week 39. So she gave me this list of questions to ask my gynecologist, the one that I've had been seeing for the past 5 years. So she told me, once you get back and you go to your appointment, just use these questions for your conversation with him. At the time, I was very naive. So I was like, oh, I'm sure he's going to support me, like I'm not worried about that. Anyway, I came back to Mexico. I went to my appointment. And honestly, in the first 5 minutes, I noticed that he wanted me to have a C-section for no reason. So I was like, oh my God, okay. So I told her, Nettie, I really need to contact another service provider, So she gave me a list of labor-friendly doctors. And she told me, there's this doctor whose name is Adriana. She is a gynecologist, but the way that she works is very similar to a midwife. She just the way that she treats her patients and the way that she respects the woman's body and everything. So I think you're really gonna like her. But you should know that she can be a little bit tough. She's kind of a hardcore feminist and she truly believes in women's capacity to give birth. So she's not gonna pamper you, right? So anyway, I went in, I met her. I love her right away. She took me, which I was so appreciative at the time, you know, like taking my case because I was already in my third trimester and things continued to evolve smoothly. And you know, that I mentioned this because since I got pregnant really easy and since everything was going smoothly, that's what I thought it was going to be in the case of my birth. I just thought that things were just gonna, you know, develop like that.
Anyways, my gosh, can I just say, I thought the same with my first. Like, yeah. I had the easiest pregnancy. I love being pregnant, just like you, right? And then all of a sudden, wham, preeclampsia, induction, C-section. And I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I just had to add that in.
I think it happens to a lot of women. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, week 40 arrived and there was no sign whatsoever of labor. And one mistake I made is that I told everyone about my due date. You know, I'm an open book. So I told everyone just out of excitement. But then once the due date passed, people started reaching out, you know, like, hey, how are you doing? Is baby here yet? Is everything all right? And that really threw me into like a bad mental state. I started to get really scared, doubtful. You know, I was just not mentally well at that time. I was just full of fear. And I mean, I didn't accept it at the time. I was telling everyone that I was fine, but internally, yes, I was in that state. And now also thinking back, I think I prepared myself a lot physically, you know, like I have been practicing yoga for 10 years. So I was doing a lot of prenatal yoga, etc. But I don't think I prepared myself mentally enough. Anyway, after week 41, Adriana, my doctor, said, you know, I think we have to start discussing the possibility of an induction. Maybe by week 41.3, we can do a very gentle induction unless something else happens. So I think 2 days after we spoke, I lost my mucus plug. So that was exciting, but then nothing was happening. So then we were almost at week 41.5. And she said, I think at 41.5, I should induce you. But the night before the induction, I woke up in the middle of the night with a very intense feeling. I weighed, I went into my living room. I sat on my birthing bowl and my water broke like a big gush, like the movies, you know, like they tell you that's never going to happen, but that happened to me. And contractions didn't start. But at that time, I didn't realize what this meant. You know, I didn't know that this meant I was actually going to be on a clock after my waters broke. So I was actually very excited. You know, I thought, okay, by tomorrow, I'm going to have my baby. This is amazing. I told my doctor, I told my doula, and they say, okay, well, no matter what, just come here to the birthing center. At the time, my doctor had a birth center, and the plan was always to labor there and then go to the hospital when I was closer to giving birth, because I just feel safer that way. And that was the plan with my insurance, etc. So I went next morning to check me, and I was only at 3 centimeters. So she told me, you know, I'm going to recommend that you just go back home, rest, eat your favorite food, try not to think about this too much. And when things escalate, just let me know. The problem then is that nothing escalated for a whole day. When I went to sleep, and that night I didn't sleep, kind of out of excitement mostly, but I was already feeling some contractions. I mean, I thought they were intense, but, you know, little did I know that they were not like the most intense part. And then the second night, I also didn't sleep because now I did start getting contractions, you know, like a bit stronger ones. So next morning, I went back into her practice and she checked me and I was at a 5. And she said, you know, things are progressing, but they're progressing quite slowly. So I'm going to give you like a tiny doses of Pitocin just to make sure that things keep progressing. So I stay there in the birth center and I was with my husband and I was with my doula. And honestly, I remember that day very fondly. It was, you know, my husband and I dance with just the shower, with just the rebozo, with just the ball, the peanut ball, like everything. But things were not progressing. It was 7 p.m. and I was only at 7 centimeters. And we were already really reaching 40 plus hours. And as you know, once your water breaks, I mean, at least in Mexico, they recommend that you have your baby within 48 hours because otherwise you start risking infections. So I told my doctor, you know what? I just want to go to the hospital. I need a change of scenery and it's just going to make me feel better. So we went to the hospital. The hospital did have this birth kind of pool. So I went into the water and just things stalled. Like I didn't progress after that. And this whole time they were checking my baby's heart rate and it started racing a lot, like scary a lot, and it wouldn't regulate. So, you know, fear just took over my body, I think. And she looked at me and she said, you know, Sophie, I think I'm going to recommend that we go for a C-section. I looked at my doula and my doula just nodded. So I was so tired and so ready to meet my baby that I said, okay, yeah, let's go for a C-section. Once I decided that, it was like the longest 40 minutes of my life because I thought, oh, well, I'm going to get, you know, under anesthesia now. But the anesthesiologist took like, you know, an hour to get there. So I was in a lot of pain. Then we went into the OR. And to be fair, my gynecologist did everything possible to have a gentle cesarean. You know, we had dim lights, we had my playlist on, the whole focus was on me. Both my doula and my husband went with me, they were holding my hands. But the one thing that makes me sad about that is that I couldn't stay awake. I was so exhausted. So I was just asleep the whole time. And I only woke up when I heard my son, Luca, crying. So exactly on week 42, he was born. And I just remember someone in the OR yelling, "It's a huge boy." So he waited 8 pounds, which is not massive, but for Mexican standards, he's really big. And, you know, Luca is a Taurus baby. He's determined. He's stubborn. And you cannot pressure him to do anything. He always does everything on his own pace. And this was just the first, you know, evidence of that. So anyway, luckily he was okay. It was a rough recovery because I was just really not prepared for a C-section. It was challenging to get on breastfeeding. He had difficulties to latch. And it just took me a while to heal what had happened, you know. But the one thing I do remember a lot is that when I was in my room, the doctor and my doula both came in and they said, you know, Sophie, we just want you to know that you and your baby are amazing. You did everything right. You just had so many things against you. But if you ever want to get pregnant again and go for a natural birth, you can do it. So that really stayed with me, you know, like the whole time.
So earlier we talked about how Coterie diapers are incredibly absorbent and minimize leaks. But let me tell you a little bit about their comfort. These diapers are made with ultra soft apparel grade materials that can help keep your baby comfortable all day and night. You will feel the difference. Well, your baby will also feel the difference. Plus, the hypoallergenic and free of fragrance dyes and other irritants keep them safe for even the most sensitive skin. Pair that with their seamless subscription service when you can adjust orders via text and you have the diapering solution that can truly make your life easier. Use code VBAC20, that's VBAC20, at checkout and save 20% off your first order of $40 or more and experience what we're raving about.
So 18 months after Luca was born, my husband and I decided to get pregnant again. Again, we got pregnant first try. And I mentioned this not, you know, like to brag about my fertility or anything like that. I know it's a sensitive topic, but for me, it was important because it was the first step to recover, you know, my confidence in my body and believe that I could really do this. Because once I started getting informed about VBAC, I realized that the healing I had to do, it was more internal, you know, like I really had to believe that I could do it. So I decided to stay with the same service providers, with the same doctor and the same doula, because I knew they really knew my story well. And I called my doula, Neri, and I was like, "Hey, Neri, what are you doing this summer? Do you want to have a baby with me?" And she was like, "Of course." Both my doctor and my doula recommended that I join maybe like an online community of VBAC women. I had no idea what VBAC was, you know? So then I found the VBAC link website, the Facebook group. I took the class, the VBAC class for parents. I found it so helpful. And for me, you know, like the fact that it was full of hardcore data, it was just so, so important. So in terms of physical prep, I tried to remain active, but I wasn't honestly doing as much yoga as before because I had a toddler. So I was working full time. I was running after my two-year-old. And I really loved that my doula told me, like, you know, don't get too stressed about working out. Just play with your kid. Play with your kid on the floor. That's going to be enough, you know, activity for you. I also really love that this time around, my gynecologist was not even like taking, like telling me how much I weighed, you know. I really love that approach. It was just a really, really joyful pregnancy. Again, it was a healthy pregnancy. I did go to the chiropractor this time, which I didn't do last time. I also went to acupuncture sessions, and I did that the last time. But this time, so I went with the same acupuncturist because I also thought it was good that she knew what happened before. I also took raspberry leaf tea and dates after week 36. So I did all of that physical prep. But what was different this time, I think it was my mental preparation, you know. So as I said, I really, really tried to focus on healing internally, believing in my body, believing in myself. So with my doula and also using, you know, some of the guiding questions and stuff from the Viva class, we started mapping out my fears. So she was like, what are you afraid of? And I said, honestly, I think what I'm most afraid of is that my waters break again before I start labor. So I remember asking in the BBAC Facebook group, like, hey, does anyone know anything about, you know, preventing prom? And someone suggested taking vitamin C. So I started doing it. And, you know, this time I felt so much more connected with my body, with my baby, with my intuition. At week 26, my baby was breech. And I remember asking again in the Facebook group, like, what would you girls do? And people told me, you know, you can do spinning babies. Like, you still have enough time for baby to get in position, but it's always easier to move a baby when they're still small. So I did spinning babies and my baby turned. So that was amazing. And, you know, the other thing that is I consider being part of the mental prep is that I was also in a very different space, spiritually speaking. I am honestly not a religious person. I'm not the most spiritual person in the world. But this time, I paid attention to a lot of like signs, you know. There was this one occasion that I was in my office. We were moving to another place. And someone hired a shamana, like a shaman, you know. But it's an indigenous sort of magic priest. Because we all wanted to do some cleansing, like spiritual cleansing before moving into the new space. And she told me, you know, I don't do cleansing of pregnant women because it's not good for the baby, but I could give you like a blessing. So it was like, yeah, of course. So she did like this whole ritual and she told me, you didn't have a natural birth before, did you? And I was like, no, I had a C-section, but I'm trying for a VBAC. And she said, you know, I'm really certain that you're going to get it. And I'm very sure that that day when you go into labor, your ancestors are going to be with you. I'm certain of it. And she also said, you know, there's something that characterizes you and has characterized you your whole life, which is having clarity and determination, Sophia. So this is not going to be the exception. And she gave me this candle and she told me, please light this up when you go into active labor, just to call your ancestors to be there with you. So it's like, okay, great. Then also on week 37, I think 36, 37, I had a nesting party. So invited a lot of friends over to help me prepare the house for baby. And a friend of mine brought the tarot, you know, the tarot cards. And she told me, do you want to pick a card? And I was like, okay, yeah, why not? So I picked a card and that card was the card for strength. It was number 8 of the major arcana that depicts a woman taming a lion through the application of subtle force. And that was so symbolic for me because, you know, it was like strength. And the picture was just like, it really stayed in my head. And I had to think, obviously, about women of strength. So, you know, there were all these symbols out there that just really put me in a very different mental state. So anyway, the day I went into labor, it was just one day before my due date. And this time I didn't tell anyone about my due date, only my mom and obviously my husband knew. So one day before the due date, I started getting contractions. I've had 2 weeks of prodromal labor and I had that before in my first pregnancy. So I knew what it was. And I mean, it can be so frustrating, right? Because you start getting prodromal labor, but it doesn't escalate. So you get sad, blah, blah, blah. But I knew this time what it was. So I was trying not to pay too much attention to it and just continue with my life. But that day I started getting real contractions. And I knew that what I had to do was to go rest. I did do mild circuit. And anyway, I was pretty happy. But then 24 hours after, labor completely stopped. And I was so scared of the story repeating itself. So fears started sneaking in, all the doubts. I started thinking, you know, maybe natural labor is just not for me. I was crying. I was sad. I texted my doula and I said, you know what, Neri, like, I'm just really bummed. I think this is not going to happen. I think I'm going to have a C-section again. And she said, like, whoa, wait, I'm going to your house right now. She lives really close to my house. So in 15 minutes, she was here. This was like 8 in the morning of the due date, like week 40. And she said, you know what? I think although baby is already engaged, because we knew it was already engaged, I think it's not in the best, like the most optimal position. So I'm just going to use the rebozo. And we used the rebozo. She told my husband and my mom how to use it. That was pretty magical. And then we also did a lot of spinning babies exercises. She said, but you know, aside from this, just try to relax, you know, like everything's going to be okay. That day I had my 40-week appointment with my doctor. So I went, and that was a game changer because she checked me, she checked my baby, and she said, you know, both of you are fine. Everything is okay. Please try to go home and relax. Do anything that makes you, you know, like get oxytocin. She was like, why don't you go and eat cake or get a bath or eat cake in the bath? And I was like, okay, that's a really specific suggestion, but why not? So that made me feel much better. And she said, I do recommend that you call the acupuncturist and tell her what's happening to see if she can give you an extra session. So I called my acupuncturist and she told me, you know, I'm an hour away from Mexico City because I'm teaching at a university. But you know what? I'm on my way there. I'm going to see you because I know you can do this. So it was so sweet of her. She drove all the way here. She gave me a session and she told me, you know, I never do this, but I want to see you again. This was like at noon, you know? And she told me, I want to see you again at night. Come here like at 8 p.m. and I'm going to give you like an extra session that is specific to help baby get in a good position and do the descent. So I was like, okay. So I went home and I actually came back and went to listen Megan's story because I remember that she had a story of failure to progress. And I listened to that episode. It was so helpful. So then I went back to the acupuncturist at 8 p.m. And during the session of acupuncture, I felt a super strong contraction. Because what had been happening is that my contractions were intense, but they were really short. They were only like 30 seconds. So when I was there, I knew that was like a minute or longer. Anyway, after the session, I came back home and they always recommended to walk after the acupuncture session. So I went walking with my husband and active labor started. Like it was clear and it was so intense. And it really started like, you know, every 15 minutes, then every 10 minutes, then 7, then 5. So at 5, I texted my doctor and my doula and they were like, okay, this is fantastic. You know, let's wait until you are at 3:11. So every 3 minutes, 1 minute long for 1 hour. But I felt like things were going super fast. So I told Neri, my doula, like, can you please come see me? Because she always told me, you know, like the timing between contractions and the duration is important, but it's even more important that I see how you're acting. So she came. And in the meantime, my husband was like packing the last things to go to the hospital. I also was pretty relaxed in the sense that my mom was taking care of my toddler. So I was really relaxed about that. And my husband had become an expert in helping me put pressure in my hips during each contraction. So he was like packing and helping me. And, you know, he was just a rock star. He was like offering me water and just he was my biggest cheerleader. And Neri arrived. She saw me and she's like, okay, it's time to go to the hospital. So I was like, okay. So we went into the car. At this time, you know, I was already in a lot of pain. Contractions were so long. They were like in a minute 20, some of them a minute and a half. It was super intense. I couldn't sit anymore. So I was just holding to the back seat. I was sitting in the back, just facing the other way. And here is where all the mental preparation really, you know, stepped in because I was remembering all of the affirmations that I was listening to. I was remembering all of the stories that I heard. I was also obsessed with watching birth videos. So all of that was going through my mind.
Yeah.
I love them so much. And, you know, my dad, who was my favorite person in the world, he passed away 7 years ago. And I could really feel he was there. You know, it was just crazy. So anyway, I was doing all this mental work during each of the contractions while in the car. And this was at midnight. And we were very close to the hospital, and then the road was blocked, completely blocked by a construction. And we were like, oh my God. And, you know, I was in labor land. I was not paying attention to details, but I could hear in the back, you know, my husband and my doula like getting a bit worried. And my doula went out of the car and I could hear her telling the police guys and the construction workers like, hey guys, we have a lady here that's in labor. If you don't let us through, she's going to have her baby here. And it was like, whoa, okay. So they opened the road just for us. So we went through, we arrived to the hospital. And, you know, it's crazy at that time because you only do the few things that you can do in between contractions. So I went into the room. This time it was a different hospital and the room was so lovely. It was, I remember it being like peach color. We had essential oils. We had my playlist. Again, my husband just being like my biggest cheerleader. 5 minutes later, my doctor arrived, which made me feel like so much better. And she's like, you know, I'm going to check you. And I was already at an 8. So that was super exciting because it was, you know, like already past what I had achieved last time. And then my water broke. And then my doctor, she said, Sophie, I need you to look to me in the eyes and listen to me. So I looked at her and she said, Sophie, this baby has to be born now. So I need you to start pushing. So I was still not at 10 centimeters. I think I was like 9 or something. But what they didn't tell me at the time is that my water already had meconium and my baby's heart rate was starting to have some significant declines. But luckily, he was recovering, you know. I was very thankful later on that they didn't tell me all of this, you know, because I was just so focused. So anyway, I tried a different positions. First, I went and sat down on this, what we call a Mayan chair. I did all 4. So I think I pushed for like an hour and a half. And I just remember it being very magical in the sense, you know, just seeing my doctor, my doula and my husband working together, cheering me, communicating even without words, you know, everything was just flowing, but still baby was not being born and pushing was so much harder than I thought. And also, I guess because I was not at 10 centimeters yet, I was not having like the super urge to push, but they were guiding me to do so. And it was really, really great guidance. So finally, I went into throne position, which honestly, it was the last position that I thought I was going to give birth in, but it felt all right. And I was, you know, a second away to give up and to tell them like, you know, guys, I think I cannot do this. But then I remember in all of the podcast stories that I listen to that usually when you're at that stage is because baby is about to be born. So then my doctor told me, you know, Sophie, baby is, it's almost here. You want to touch their head? So we had decided this time not to know the sex until birth. So I had no idea if it was a boy or a girl. And I touched the head and that was so, so, so exciting. So I was like, okay, it just gave me like another rush of energy. And my doula said, I really think like 2 more pushes and you're going to meet your baby. So I pushed once, the little head popped out and then it went back in. And then this whole time they have been telling me to try not to push with my throat, but, you know, with my abdomen. So, but then they say, you know, this time when you push, push with all of your strength. And if you feel like screaming, scream. So I pushed so hard, I screamed and my baby was born at 2:22 a.m. And baby started crying right away. I started yelling, I did it, I did it, I can't believe it. And yeah, just for a few seconds, I had no idea if it was a boy or a girl because I right away put him in my chest. And then my husband looked and he said, oh my God, it's a boy. And yeah, people asked like, so what's his name? And we said, his name is Rio. Rio in Spanish means river. And it also stands for, you know, the flow of life. And I really, really think Rio honored, you know, the way that he arrived into this world. And honestly, he's a pretty chilled and easygoing baby. So that was, it was honestly the best day of my life. And, you know, later my doula, my doctor and I just went through the whole story. And again, we both said, like we all said, I think my mental and spiritual state of mind was very different this time, was much more positive. I also really felt held by my tribe. I had this chat of my, like all my best friends in this WhatsApp chat and they were all like rooting for me. And also remember I told you like there was this shaman, like this kind of magician priest that told me that I was going to be able to do it. And they gave us a candle. My mom lighted the candle when we went to the hospital, and the candle turned off by itself at 2:20, and Rio was born at 2:22. So that was pretty magical as well. Yeah. And just the last thing I'll say about the story is, like, also my gynecologist and my doula were also in a different state of mind. They had had a lot of BVAC experience, which was great, you know. And, you know, my doula always told me, it doesn't matter how your baby is born. What matters is the experience and that you really feel this connection with your baby. But, you know, in this case, Adriana told you to push this baby out and you understood the assignment. You literally delivered your baby and you had the baby when you were asked to do so. And that on itself is strength. So, yeah, that's my story.
I absolutely love that. Just all of it. Like, what a journey. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out where to start. I took some notes as you were talking, and I just think it's so incredible, all of the different things that you did to prepare. I really like what your doula told you during your pregnancy, that your personality, you've always had clarity and determination. It was something like that. Like she said, clarity and determination is your personality, right? And I love that, because I think sometimes it's easier to advocate and fight and navigate having a VBAC when that clarity and determination is already something that comes naturally to us. And it's not something that comes naturally to everybody. And it's not good or bad, or it's not, it's not like assigned into a category. It just is. And like me, I'm incredibly stubborn and I will fight sometimes harder than I should to get the things that I want or desire. And I think that my stubbornness played a huge part in working towards that. And sometimes it's just easier, like I said, easier to advocate for yourself when you already have those strong personality traits, right? So
yeah, for sure.
But it's okay, because you don't have to have those strong personality traits inherently in order to get your VBAC. There's lots of other things that you can do and lots of other things that are on your side as well. I wanted to kind of touch on some of the things that you did to prepare. You took the VBAC class, which is amazing. I love our VBAC class. It's really incredible. Lots of good information. I feel like obviously it's pretty well-rounded and has lots of different characteristics and addresses all the different learning styles and things like that. Things for like the data junkie like me, and things for the people that are more holistic minded, things that are more mental preparation focused, things like that. You talk about Rebozo, spinning babies, learning how to relax your mind and your body, the positioning of the baby, acupuncture. You hired a very, very good doula and provider who both had lots of VBAC experience. That was also something that was really important to me. Like when I interviewed, I think like 12 doulas when I was preparing for my first VBAC, because I really wanted a doula that had had a VBAC herself and supported lots of VBAC families. And I don't think it's necessary that to have a doula that has had a VBAC herself in order to have a really solid VBAC doula. I don't think that's necessary, but that's something that was important for me.
And yeah, for sure. For me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted midwives who had done lots of VBACs, and that was really important to me. Now it's not, like I said, it's not necessary, but it's something that you can put in your toolkit to prepare. So I feel like a lot of times I hear people say something to the effect of, I tried all the things and I still didn't get a VBAC, or I tried all the things and I didn't get a vaginal birth. And you know what? Some people try all of the things and don't get a delivery method that they want. And some people do literally nothing and have a perfect birth. And, and I want to just tell you that birth is inherently unfair.
Yeah.
It's just, especially with the way our system is set up to handle pregnant women and babies and labor and all of that stuff, it's inherently unfair. And sometimes you can do everything and have a completely unexpected birth experience. And sometimes you can and do absolutely nothing. My sweet sister-in-law, she's getting induced tomorrow. She knows absolutely nothing about labor and birth and delivery. Like she has no desire to know anything. She knows absolutely nothing. She's getting induced tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really trying hard to stay in my role as a supportive sister-in-law when I see some choices that she's making that might influence her birth in a way that she doesn't want. But also, I don't think the outcome really matters to her, to be honest. Like, I just don't think how she gets the baby here matters. And that's okay. It is. Yeah, that is okay. But what I want, I guess my point of all of this is that you don't have to do all of the things. Like, I feel like some people say, like, I feel like I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to. What you need to do is learn about the things that are available to you and then gravitate towards the ones that resonate well with you. Who maybe you don't even care about spinning babies or what position your baby's in, but you really want to focus on nutrition and getting your mind ready and finding a supportive provider. Cool. Do those things. You know,
yeah, maybe, I really try to enjoy this pregnancy because I, you know, I only plan to have two kids. So, you know, I was like, maybe this is my last pregnancy. You know, I just want to make sure I enjoy it. And I even did like a photo shoot with my family and stuff. Yeah. So I just really enjoyed it. And I know that for some women, it stresses them to think about all this prep. But for me this time around, it just made me feel good, you know, like just being informed and things like that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, to have a BVAC in a context like Mexico is not a minor achievement. The system is so set up to just go into C-sections. So yeah, it was just like a lot of challenges against me, but I was lucky that I had really good service providers by my side that were supportive. And, you know, my doula told me when we saw that you had meconium and we saw that your baby's heart rate was descending, I'm sure any other doctor would have sent you to the OR, but Adriana, your doctor, really believed that you could do it. So that's why she decided to just give you a chance and you did it. So, you know, that's just really important as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like if you want to do all the things, if doing all the things makes you happy and helps you feel prepared, then by all means do all the things. I don't think you should do nothing. Let me clarify that. I think you should do something, at least one thing, right? But do the things that really resonate with you. I saw a Instagram post yesterday, I think. I'm trying to find it now. It was, I think it was maybe on the account called like Trusting Birth or something like that. But basically it said that there are studies that show, nope, it is not Trusting Birth. Dang it. Oh gosh, dang it. I really want to find it. It was something about that there are studies that show that women, when they're pregnant, make smart choices. Okay. They make smart choices. And what that doesn't mean they go deliver in the hospital and have an epidural and get induced. It's not a blanket statement, right? They make smart choices, which means they let their intuition guide them. No, not smart choices, safe choices. Mm-hmm. And what is safe depends on the parent and the baby and the pregnancy. And when you let women guide their own care and give them options, they make the safe choice. Now, the safe choice is different, like we just said, but the choice that is safest for them at the time. Like there is study to back that up. And gosh, dang it, I wish that I could find it. Now I'm like literally on my phone right now, thinking of all the different accounts that could be. I wonder if I liked it. Dang it. Anyways, if I can find it, I will have Paige, our podcast transcriber, link it in the show notes. I'll send it to her. But anyways, it was really interesting because that's kind of what we're advocating for all along. Trust your intuition, trust your gut, trust your internal guide, right? You will make a safe choice. And if that's birthing at home, if it's birthing in the hospital or whatever it guides you to, if it's what acupuncture, spinning babies, massage, getting a doula, not getting a doula, doing a VBAC class, what VBAC class to do, all of those things are safe choices that you can make for yourself. Now, dang it, I just want to hang out here until I can find
no worries. Can I add one more thing?
Post. Yes, please do while I keep looking.
But talking about, you know, the safe choices, I think one of the things that made me feel very safe and allowed me to really focus, you know, on the contractions and the pushing is just knowing that my birth team was really on my side, you know, like my doctor, my doula, my husband. That most women that I know in Mexico have to spend a lot of time advocating for their obstetric rights, you know? Mm-hmm. So not having to worry about that and just focus on my birth just made me feel really safe. And just, you know, being able to know that, to believe that I could do it.
Awesome. Yes, I agree. I agree. Believing in yourself is a big thing. Like, and granted, sometimes you'll believe in yourself. I think when I say believe in yourself and like trust yourself and trust your intuition, it's not trust yourself that you can have a VBAC, although that is very important. Like trust, that's important, but trust yourself that you will navigate the birth in a way that's safe and healthy for you and your baby. And that might be a repeat C-section. It might be a home birth, an unassisted birth, a hospital birth, But trust yourself that you will be able to guide yourself safely through the birth process, whatever that looks like. And guess what? I found the Yay. Post. I had liked it. And I just had to go into my activity in my Instagram history. It's from an Instagram account called intentional.birth. Intentional.birth. And it says that there is a PhD biologist and doula, Sophie Messiger, bridges the scientific and intuitive world of birth at the induction equation. So I think maybe that's the induction equation. Oh, I guess I don't know what the induction equation is. Anyways, so the post shows, though, it says research shows that women make safe choices because of the constant communication between the woman and the baby. Women tend to know when something is wrong. And they also tend to know when something is right. Ignoring a woman's instincts is a very stupid thing to do. And I like that. Like, what I like they how they say they women's instincts tend to know when something is right. And yeah, I hear that all the time. And this is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like, oh, my doctor recommended an anatomy scan at 32 weeks, but I just don't feel like that's necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because you know something's right. Or you know what? I know measuring for a big baby isn't really evidence-based, but I just think I want to do it. That maybe feels like something is right, like the big baby scan or whatever, or maybe that something's wrong, right? Or you know what? My doctor brought up inducing at 39 weeks. And normally I would say no, but it just kind of feels like the right thing to do. That exactly. is your intuition. Or my doctor said, maybe we should induce at 39 weeks, but I just don't think that doesn't feel right to me. And so you wait, like that's your intuition, people. Like those comments, trust when you're into that, you know, when your baby is safe, you know, when something's wrong, you know, when something's right, even if you can't literally define it, follow those feelings. They're important. And there is science to back it up.
and that's how I felt, you know, like when my baby was reaching, like, I have this intuition that I'm going to be able to turn it around and, you know, everything's going to go well. And it did. And I love that there's this study, you know, like kind of backing up the importance of following your intuition.
Yeah. So go check it out. It looks like it links to the other Sophie. That's your name. No, you're Sophia.
I'm Sophia. Like, hey. Sophia. People call me Sophie. So yeah,
it's funny.
That, yeah, so, you know, it's all connected.
Yeah, there we go. It's all connected. Sophie_Messiger. That's Messager. That is the PhD biologist that linked with the post that, yeah, I'm gonna follow this lady right now. Transformational Journey Guide for Sacred Shifts. Incredible. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sophia, for sharing your story with us today. I love talking with you. It's incredible for everyone birthing in Mexico and Mexico City, especially. We know it's a completely different, there's a lot of similarities between the United States, but there's also some differences and different challenges to navigate. So we appreciate hearing your perspective and your experience and just really enjoyed having you here with me today.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey, everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.